Welcome to Top of the Week, and in this segment of our show, we'll be speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Kevin J. Sweeney, the author of the book Pressure Cooker Confidence. He is a pilot and a speaker, and he has had experience in wartime and in peacetime as flying, and we'll be discussing leadership qualities and flight safety today. Good morning, and welcome to our show, sir.
Hey, Bob, thanks for having me.
First off, let's start with your book, Pressure Cooker Confidence. What is pressure cooker confidence, in your opinion?
Well, that's how to put yourself in position to really excel when you're under pressure, whether it be personally or professionally. And we take you through the steps it takes to really get to where you have that confidence. When you're put under pressure, you go, this is not pressure. I knew I was this was going to happen. I can handle it, no problem.
What is your definition of a leader? What are leadership qualities? What does it take to be a leader?
Well, a leader has to be designated a leader by their people. You don't come out and just say, I'm a leader, unless, of course, you're elected to a position, legislature or executive branch or Congress or something like that. But a real leader, the most effective leaders in our corporations and associations are the ones that have the highest respect from their people. Just like a Tony Dungy, he has the highest respect from his people, and so they will listen to him, and then he can lead them.
Is it usually the best leader leads by example, by what they do?
Oh, yes. I think the best leaders are the ones that will never ask anybody to do anything that they wouldn't do themselves, and their people feel that. And I think it's very important to be with your team after you've been under pressure as much as it is when they're under pressure.
And how would people respond to, if a situation happens where you're in a situation of crisis, and somebody steps up and people see that. I mean, how do people normally react in that situation? What leads them to believe a person has the qualifications of a leader?
Well, that charismatic leadership, and I always say it's preparation before the fact. I had a flight one night where I was flying a Boeing 707, a KC-135, which is the military version of a Boeing 707 four-engine jet, Desert Storm combat mission. The two engines on my left wing, Bob, came totally off the airplane. Well, I happen to be the captain of that airplane. We're flying back, and for us to successfully make it, I need the help of the rest of my team, of my co-pilot, first officer, my navigator, and the boom operator. And one of my crew members, I'll never forget, said something to me. They said, are we going to have to bail out? And I said, no, we'll be fine. Stick with me. And he, no more questions. That really, that night, taught me a lot about leadership because he had the confidence in me from prior flight that we could handle it. So when we got in trouble, he believed in me, but I also believed in my team.
How difficult is it to fly an airplane with just the engines on one side? I mean, how does a plane handle in a situation like that?
Well, it's what I call a little bit sporty, Bob. You have to just physically overpower it. The ship keeps wanting to turn. It keeps wanting to roll. You just have to physically overpower it and pay attention to what you're doing.
Now, pilots have, in an emergency situation, what they call a checklist. What do you do in a situation like that? I mean, what would your checklist call for? How would you handle the steps, and what did it take to bring the plane in?
Well, there's two types of checklists. Number one is there are the emergency procedures checklist, which you have memorized in your memory, and you go over those, you review those before flight every time. That next set of checklists is the ones you can just read through and think, okay, we've lost hydraulic pressure. We need this switch turned off. We've got a lost pilot brakes. We need to turn off the anti-skid switch. A bunch of things like that. I don't want to get too detailed, but even technical. There's two checklists. One, the emergency procedures that you just know, and then the other one that you go through. Now, the purpose of
other thing is, how fast would time pass in your mind in compared to real time? How do you react?
Well, the dimension of time actually changes. When we got in our situation, the dimension of time actually changed. Because we were flying at night, we hit jet wash from another airplane, and it threw us into a Dutch roll. I don't know if you ever watched the movie old Top Gun, but if you remember when Tom Cruise got thrown into that wild gyration that they had to eject.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's kind of what same type of thing happened to us. We hit jet wash, except we're in a 300,000-pound airplane. So there's no ejection seat. So we were going in a Dutch roll, which is wingtip to wingtip, 110 degrees of bank every 1.1 seconds, get us out of that Dutch roll, and had two fire lights on. So I said to one of our other crew members, I could feel on the stick she wouldn't fly. So I said to one of the other crew members, hey, run on back there, scan that left wing, tell me how bad the fires are. Because I looked at the engine instrument, they looked like Times Square on New Year's Eve. Everything's lit up. and I'll never forget when he came back, that in a couple of seconds, he came back and said, they're not on fire, they're gone.
Wow.
So you just have to react. Now, it took us an hour and 15 minutes to get back to a suitable landing base. So we had plenty of time. But when you're in that Dutch roll, we just had a split second to get us out of that Dutch roll. But you're highly trained, just like Sully, the old captain from that U.S. Air 1549. I mean, he just had to react immediately. And in my opinion, he did three things exceptionally well. Number one, he focused on what he was doing. He kept that airplane under control. Number two, he delegated. And number three, he communicated. And what I mean by that, when he kept that airplane under control, he kept it from stalling. He kept her flying. The main job of a pilot is to keep you flying. When you're in business, you got to think of what your main job is. And keep, even when you get under pressure, keep doing that job. Then he delegated. He delegated that first officer to run that engine restart checklist. And then he communicated with the flight attendants in the back. Hey, we got a little problem up here. We might have to make an emergency landing. But what that did for those flight attendants is that put them in position for them to excel, for them to be successful, and to work with the passengers. And they were highly successful once they got down on the water to getting all those passengers out.
We're speaking today with Lieutenant Colonel Kevin J. Sweeney. He's the author of the book Pressure Cooker Confidence. In your book, you discussed the leadership qualities and the importance of the lowest-ranking member of a team. Now, is that like the weakest link in a chain defining the strength of something?
Well, it could be, but it's also not. For instance, when I was coming back into land, my lowest-ranking person had to put the landing gear down manually. And I asked him, we're coming back in. I said, Steve, you're going to have to put the landing gear down manually. How long is that going to take? He told me 7 minutes. I said, well, Steve, we're only going to have three. Steve Stuckey could have whined and said, you need to send me some help. But Steve Stuckey was the ultimate professional. He said, I'll get him down, and he did. And when I talk about the lowest-ranking person, not necessarily the weakest link, it's just that lowest-ranking person, the person that's not the leader, can in the blink of an eye become the most important member of your team. There is no question that I wouldn't be talking to you today, Bob, if Steve Stuckey hadn't done his job.
Now, can a person find their own qualities of leadership in a position like that? If they're not the leader and they step up in that situation, would that show signs that they have leadership qualities?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, I mean, in my mind, Steve Stuckey was the leader. He knew his job to perfection, and he got those landing gear down. And half the time, the book said he needed to get them down in. My navigator, he was the leader. He kept us out of some of those solid clouds that were around where we're going to land. When I say solid clouds, I'm talking about significant hills. It kind of ruins your day if you fly into one of them.
Yeah.
And my co-pilot, I mean, we had overpowered that airplane, and he absolutely helped me. They were all leaders. Now, maybe I was designated the aircraft commander, but there is no question those other people had very significant roles, very important things to do in that flight. And I talk about that with the Corporations Association, the real value of being a great teammate.
Now, what's always amazed me about you were flying the KC-135, which is the 707 equivalent of the mid-air tankers for refueling.
Yes.
I've always been amazed by the precision that it takes to get a jet lined up to to couple up and take fuel on in midair. I mean, it's like precision flying, just to link up and connect and to get that job done.
Oh, yes, but we train the air crews are some of the best-trained people in the world, which is why they're successful, why that U.S. airplane was able to get back, because they had practiced losing the engine. They practiced that. Those flight attendants had practiced getting people off the back of that airplane at minimum time. We practiced refueling and talk about it and do what they call hangar flying, where Bob, if you and I were both pilots, or let's say we're both salespeople, what we ought to do is sit there and talk about the toughest sales we ever had. Or let's say we both interview people. So that was another radio talk show host like yourself. We'd get down and we'd talk about the toughest interview we ever had. So then when it happens to you,
you're prepared for it.
And your mind says, hey, I knew this was going to happen. I can handle it. We talk about that in our speech, and that's so important for people to be prepared.
Now, for people that don't understand flying, that just your average everyday, I'm going to get on a plane for vacation flyer, how is it compared to driving? How safe is it to be up in the air?
Oh, my goodness, that U.S. air flight was the first major accident we've had in a year. There's people, more people hurt driving to the grocery store every day in cars. The thing is, though, when a plane goes down, it's big news, and, you know, it's spectacular, so you hear about that. But flying, I mean, we move 3 million people a day around the United States in airplanes.
And how, when that the plane went down into Hudson, how much time did they have to react to make the decision? I mean, what went through Captain Sullenberger's mind to the mindset to put the plane down in the river instead of going into the ocean or trying to find land?
Well, if you read what has been said so far, they went over real quick. We landed at Teterboro, so we landed at Newark, trying to go back to LaGuardia, and they had to make a very quick assessment. And then once you make that assessment, stick with it. And he made that assessment, I can't make these other airports. Of course, an airport would be a much better place to land than the Hudson River, but if you can't make it, he said, I can't make it, and he stuck with his decision. And that's a key point that successful people do. They don't waver. They make a decision, and they stick with it. And he stuck with it and executed that landing. He kept that nose up a little bit, didn't tilt the wings, kept those wings level when he touched down, so he didn't drag the wingtip and cartwheel that airplane. And then he put those flight attendants in position for them to excel.
And that's what amazed me about his landing is usually you hear of an airplane that lands on water, it breaks up, but that plane landed intact. Is it because he chose the river over the ocean where the waves would have been bigger?
Well, that helps, but there's no question that his skill of getting that down, a smooth landing, as smooth as possible in that river.
Is there any luck involved with that, too? I mean, it was a miraculous thing that the injuries were as minor as they were for the people, that everybody survived it.
There's luck involved. Sure, I'm not going to tell you there's not luck, but I would rather have his skill than luck. I wouldn't say that's lucky. He is. He did a great job, and things were right. It wasn't a real windy day where there's heavy waves, so that helped. But it was still, he demonstrated a lot of skill along with the rest of his crew. First off, there was help. Those flight attendants got those people off. Don't ever sell them short.
Oh, no. Well, they play a key role, definitely. It's like the whole team effort is what made it possible for everybody to get off that plane safely, I think.
Oh, absolutely. It's a team effort. And we'd like to talk about the teams when I talk Corporations America, the importance of the team. Nobody can do it together. Sully couldn't have got saved those 155 people's lives without his team performing magnificently. Corporations aren't successful without the team.
And before we close today, we're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Kevin J. Sweeney, retired Air Force pilot. He is the author of the book Pressure Cooker Confidence. And how can people find your book, and how can they get in touch with you about coming up to speak for a leadership seminar?
Sure. Well, first off, the book, Pressure Cooker Confidence, How to Lead When the Heat is On, is available on Amazon.com. Just log on to Amazon.com and type in Pressure Cooker Confidence, and you'll get the book. If you want to get in contact with me, I have a website, www.sweeney, S-W-E-E-N-E-Y,